Blog Talk Radio.
Live from planet Earth, this is The World According to Velvet, and today we have a special guest. We're continuing our conversation today with Robert Fitzgerald, theoretical astrologer. And we had him on the show maybe a month ago.
Yeah, about kind of a thing going on in between.
Yeah, I had to go on a little journey. And so we've got him back, and we're going to kind of try and pick up where we left off. I listened again this morning to our short segment that wasn't a half hour, even though I thought it was at the time. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. And anyway, we kind of ended that last discussion talking about the Piscean Age and the Aquarian Age, the goddess, and what's coming up for us in the near future as it relates to the goddess. So, Robert, where do you want to start today?
You tell me. Let's start with the nature of the goddess. Okay, what's happening, one of the things that is happening in the world is that let's just back up a little bit. I've discovered that there is a structure within the zodiac that defines the nature of religions, the nature of mythology. And looking at that as a template, we begin to understand the nature of the archetypal nature of religions and spirituality to a much greater degree. And from that, then we can start to align our lives in a much more archetypally beneficial manner. So what in as archetype we find is that masculine and feminine are archetypally in a balance. And this goes from the mother goddess to the son, the father god, and the nature of how they work together to create the universe, down to the creation of the first woman and first man, and from them what that means as far as the roles of men and women and how we can choose to manifest those or embrace those in our lives. What's happened over the last 2,000 years especially, maybe even longer than that, is that the masculine has asserted its dominance and has squashed the feminine down so far that there's an imbalance in masculine and feminine archetypal creative unity. What this essentially means is that things are just falling apart, and a lot of it can be assigned to this imbalance. The feminine is nurturing, inclusive, embracing, universal, communal, while the masculine is individual, it's warring, it's fighting, and in that fight, the masculine requires an enemy to fight against. So the masculine is always embracing the spirituality or the religious path of war, and it's extremely hard for the masculine patriarchal culture to get out of that without embracing the feminine as a balance to that. Okay? So I think the last time I had mentioned is that in the last meeting is that what is coming up in about 10 years is a it's going to be considered, let's say, like an all-out energetic assault against the feminine and family, community, women's rights, women's choices, things like that, and it's going to also manifest in terms of food sources. Droughts are going to lead to famines, et cetera, and that's all tied in with the sign Cancer. We're coming up to the Cancer phase of the Pisces era of the age of Pisces, and that will run from 2025 to 2040, a 15-year time period. I'm going to stop right there and say, like, if anybody's interested in looking up more about the mathematics behind this and the nature of individual times, I have an informational website. It's called signsofthetimeshistory.com, and it lays out my study of astrological ages and all of these smaller time periods from about 9,000 BC to the present. And in that, we can make projections into the future because we know the template. We know what's come up to the present time, and we can project into the future. Okay, so what is going to happen is that given our patriarchal tendencies and our Christian tendencies, which is highly patriarchal, God is, the Old Testament God, Yahweh, is a warrior God who gained ascendancy by leading his army, chosen people, in conquest, in an Ares type of warrior conquest of a promised land. And we honor that as sacred history. It's indicative of our masculine warrior worldview. Okay, so what's coming up, or what we're dealing with now, is like a battle between the religious right and secular liberalism, and the women and abortion and contraception and their right to choose, and the religious need to try to keep women back down through legislating against abortion in all cases. And even it's going to go into contraception, and eventually it's going to deal with getting women out of the workplace and back into the home. Everything that gets back to like a traditional Christian ideal of the family, where the man was in charge of the home and he could beat his wife at will, and it was, that concept was actually supported from the pulpit. So all of this stuff, I see what is coming in this cancer phase is going to have to do with women in the family. And the environment is feminine. The environment is Mother Nature.
Fracking.
All of that stuff. Keystone Pipeline, everything else. It's the what's called predatory capitalism now. It's become so predatory that it's just, you know, it's there to support the 1% rather than the 99%. Now, the counter to this, then, is that if we're heading into this cancer phase, and it's in the Pisces era of the age of Pisces, then we need to, like, combine cancer women with Pisces spirituality, which means then it's now time to reintroduce the feminine in our sacred story. And as we do that, we start to change the subconscious power that we have over our traditional patriarchal creation story. There was no original sin in the Garden of Eden, as an example. Eve, the mother of all living, was actually a demoted form of the mother goddess that was common throughout the Near East at that time when the scribes first started to write down these our creation stories. The 7 days of creation is a masculine story, but it comes from an older feminine embrace. So you can see the feminine circle, the zodiac, so to speak, the unity of everything, with this axis mundi in the middle, running vertically up and down the center, that has seven levels to it. And those seven levels then correspond to the 7 days of creation, or the seven stages of creation. The creation of the universe on archetypal level prior to a Big Bang, or the creation of the physical, which would have happened at the bottom of that level. But until we reintroduce or reconnect the feminine with this whole process, then they remain masculine stories, and as masculine stories, there's good versus evil, as opposed to just duality. Left hand, right hand, night and day, you know, in a natural cycle of always balance. Say, if you say, as an example, if your right leg is good and your left leg is evil, and you try to just stick with the good, you're not going to walk anywhere. You're going to have to hop. You cut your leg off, you're going to be one-legged. The universe or life progresses through a night, day, night, day, night, day alternation. Spring, summer, winter, fall. Spring, summer, winter, fall. It's a whole that is very healing, and each season has its good parts, and we all take from that everything that's good. And it's in that wholeness that we find our health and our growth and our evolution. So as we're coming up on this cancer phase, like I said, it's time now to retell our stories based on these the reintroduction of the feminine. And once we retell these stories and they start to become part of our personal mythology, then we can also find it's a whole lot easier than to incorporate them into our lives, where a woman is the head of the household, because the house and the home are ruled by Cancer. They're ruled by the feminine archetype. They're not masculine, not at all. So when you give to women her due, she gives back to men their due, and you start to create a more loving and evolutionary balance between the genders.
And so also you talked last time about the new religion. What do you mean by that?
Okay. Every 2,200 years, looking at history, religions and mythologies change their very nature and they change their direction to align with each new age. So during the age of Taurus, with the Scorpio opposition, religions were based upon prosperity, the idea that if you ordered your life in line with the structure of heaven, you would attract the prosperity that's imagined in heaven into your own life. These are Taurus age religions. The Pharaoh in Egypt, and this would have been early Egypt, an old kingdom, was the head of the temple system for bringing in goods and wealth into the country and then redistributing them out to everybody that's in their culture. The Pharaoh means what? Great house. It's just kind of like that house, home, the center of nurturing, of milk, of goods, of prosperity, happiness, all of that was combined together. With the Scorpio opposite, their religion was highly sexual, giving rise to techniques such as disciplines such as Tantra, and the idea that sexuality was inherently a divine aspect of creation. That went after about 2200 BC. That started to change with the rise of the age of Aries. Now, the transition from one age to the next in terms of these types of cultural and social ways of looking at things, think about 700 years, the last third of an age, before they start to really bomb into the new age. But the rise of the age of Aries brought with it the rise of patriarchy and their violent, warlike Aries type of battle against older matriarchy. It took a long time, but in the Near East, in the Mid East, etc., that was where like a lot of most of the thrust on that was for our own traditions. I'm not sure what would have happened in Mesoamerica or South America at that time, but there is evidence from around the world that things started to become more warlike. The Age of Aries brought with it war. And with that, it brought also with it a warrior religion. The Greek Olympus religion is probably the best example of that. Gods and goddesses fighting against each other or aligning with opposing armies of humans. Their saints and sages were heroes, warrior heroes at that time. It began as early as like old Babylonians. There, a young local god named Marduk rose up in rebellion against the mother goddess, the serpent mother goddess Tiamat. Blew her back out to the farthest reaches of creation and established a new hierarchy in heaven that was patriarchal. In our Old Testament, in the Bible, is an Aries age religion. God leading his army, et cetera, et cetera. And all, the great people of religious interest were warriors. Samson defeating the Philistines, even Moses leading his people out of Egypt, and there was, you know, that had to do, that was built up around conflict and conquest of a promised land and all sorts of like Aries types of imagery around that. The great prophet of the Old Testament, Elijah, is remembered for killing the local pagan priest with his bare hands. Okay, so it's like it's an Aries age religion. When you get into Pisces, you get something totally different. Christ comes to change the direction of religion. Today, we find it a whole lot easier to hang on to an Aries age religion of judgment and hatred and punishment than to actually work on our heart and learn how to forgive and show compassion, which creates like a whole different dynamic. And we think Aries age religion or Old Testament religion is the embodiment of religion. And Christ was just kind of like, the end of that somehow. You know, we don't follow Christ's teachings, we follow Yahweh's teachings. So now we're at a point, and we've been at this point since the Renaissance, science and humanism are rising. And from 1800 to 1980, we were in the Aquarius era of the Age of Pisces, and science just exploded across the face of the earth, especially the 20th century. And, you know, don't need to really go into a lot of that. We're still in the middle of it, or still at the end of that part. But what's coming with Aquarius is scientific and mathematical. So it needs a religious paradigm that looks an awful lot like a graph, that's mathematical, that's geometric, something that can be studied by other, say, spiritual researchers who want to get in. It's okay, I was looking at this graph and I saw something over here that implies, like a different interpretation of what spirituality might be.
So is this where quantum physics is coming in?
This possibly, but right now what I'm thinking more is like the next level after quantum physics is astrological. Okay. So to me, it's like this astrological structure is going to be the foundation for a new scientific, humanistic, even atheistic understanding of individual spirituality. Genius is not just the power of the mind, it's the power of the heart as well. And genius literally means one's personal God or one's personal guide, one's own spirit. Okay, so it's like the whole definition of God and spirituality are in the process of changing. But what's coming, if you look at the zodiac in a certain way, and you can study this, I have another website if you want to look at how I came to this. It's we-quality.com. So, or we quality with the hyphen in there, we-quality.com. And that talks about the nature of gender roles, the power of the feminine, and the needs of the feminine and all of this. And over the next 10 years, because we're still in current time period, the Gemini phase of the Pisces era from 2010 to 2025, this is a perfect time right now to start intellectually getting into this new type of understanding. And you can apply Christianity, Islam, any of these understandings to this template, and it will tell you kind of, it'll give you a sense of where you're at in terms of creation. This template can be psychological if you don't want to think of it as spiritual. Same thing, you're dealing with the same process, and the outcome will be personal evolution.
So, I mean, just as a, to get a little understanding of what you're saying, so are you talking like, because the astrology has the 12 houses, one of the things we can do is begin, let's say if you are a Christian, you can begin to look at the Bible as it talks about the 12 apostles or the 12 tribes of Abraham or
Israel.
Israel, yeah. So.
And on the breastplate that Aaron wore, the Urim and Thummim, the breastplate had 12 gems, and that was, they used that as a kind of like, as an oracle. And in rabbinic tradition, it's stated that a priest or a king needed to know astrology, because astrology was the vehicle through which they understood and could interpret the word of God that would be coming to them.
Well, and even, did you, I don't know if you knew that even until probably the 1920s, maybe 1880s and the 1920s, doctors in the esoteric traditions, they also needed, they were required to learn astrology in order to keep their
people. Medical astrology, yeah, dealing with the humors,
right,
among other things, yeah.
Right. So, you're bringing this up, I mean, it's like 15 years away, right?
10 years.
10 years away. So it's 10 years away. So as individuals...
Well, actually, the age of Aquarius is 145 years away.
Right, but it's coming, and we can
but
see
it. But it's coming. We're definitely in the energy bath. Like there's not a... it's like you don't walk through a door and then clunk, all of a sudden you're somewhere different. Again, you have this 700-year buildup, and things are getting stronger. We've been enmeshed in it since 1800 in the Aquarius era, and now we're dealing with the Pisces era, where we are dealing with a spiritual or a religious pushback from traditional Pisces religions, and that's the evangelicals, the Catholic synod of bishops, those types of things that are trying to reintroduce church dogma.
And to keep us stuck in those Aries and Age religions.
Keep us stuck in the Pisces Age religion with that Aries Age Yahwist understanding.
And so as individuals, what can we do?
Well, as individuals, we're learning that, you know, meditation allows us to get past the surface crap, goes deep enough in there, and then the other thing, and to touch deeper levels of truth within us. The other thing is, like, the more we be able to understand the nature of what I am presenting in this astrological structure, it gives us a different format within which to say, like, no, that's false. I'm liking what I'm seeing here. This is true. So I'm starting to redefine things. And if I know what I'm defining or why, it becomes easier to make the shift. Now, very quickly, what this new religion is that going back to an ancient structure where Taurus sat on the ascendant, which is the left-hand side of the circle, between right at the left and 30 degrees down is the first house. When Taurus was there, the seven original planets that ruled the 12 signs align in a perfect vertical axis down the middle of the zodiac. Okay. These seven planetary positions correspond to the seven chakras in your body. And Oriental, like tantric meditation or chakra meditation, is based on this understanding. So as you do your meditation and you bring the energy up from your root chakras, your first and second chakra, which is the chakras that we project from automatically, survival and aggression, masculine and feminine in that type of battle of the sexes thing. As we get up to our and open up our heart chakra, then what we do is we start to create like a whole different, we bring up around us holographically a whole different universe that's based in love, compassion, prosperity, the fulfillment of desires automatically, simply with that desire. It's a heart-centered projection. So, and as we do that more and more and more, and leave behind the battle that goes on within duality, we start to recreate for ourselves something totally new. You can actually look at the nature of the 7 days of creation follows this seven planetary step. The interesting thing about this, these seven planets, is that they're linear. You get at the bottom to at the fifth level down Mercury, and then you have the moon and sun. One, the sun does not exist above the moon. Sun and moon, in terms of rulership, exist side by side, equal, holding hands, relationship, love back and forth, the potential for all of this other stuff that has nothing to do with dominance and submission. And this is essentially our internal nature. But as we grow to that, you know, as we first start to understand how to accept the equality in each other and respect it, especially between genders, even in the LGBT community, a gay man, internally feminine, outwardly masculine. So how do you rebalance the masculine and feminine there? And even in a gay marriage, inner masculine or inner feminine, outer masculine, they're coming together to rebalance that whole thing. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's still an aspect of that bringing together of yin and yang opposites in a healthy way to go up to help us, drive us up to cleansing the heart chakra. This gets into like a whole discussion of holographic universe, which astrology starts to answer as well, multidimensional universe, string theory, where we exist in universe and all these spatial dimensions are right here, right now. Three physical spatial dimensions, three mental spatial dimensions, three emotional spatial dimensions. Nothing has been broken off into tubular membranes at the Planck length. They're all right here, and they answer the question of what is the entire universe like? These other dimensions, whole gods and living gods and goddesses, archetypes, mathematics, scientific laws of nature and scientific laws of physics all exist in these other dimensions, and they flow through us, and scientists will pick up the mathematical aspects of things. Other people will pick up maybe relationship aspects of these energies and manifest them in their lives. So it's the universe out there is just amazingly complex, and astrology enlightens a lot of that. It makes sense of what's going on out there. So there's not a difference between conservative, practical understandings of things versus, that's all, the spiritual is all kind of wacko and imaginary. So from that perspective then, understanding this astrological structure of history, of religion, can be like a very, very valuable tool for making the intellectual aspect of the jump and allowing the heart then to go like, okay, let's do it.
Okay, since we're kind of running out of time here, to summarize what you just said, in journalism school, I was taught you tell them what you tell them. You tell them what you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Then we're going to tell them what we told them. What did you, to wrap this up, how do you want to wrap this up to end this session?
I'm saying it's like as we're coming into this new format, this new age, astrology is the perfect discipline for understanding that, and it requires a balance between masculine and feminine. We cannot go forward without the feminine. The feminine has the power. The masculine strength cannot do anything without feminine power to fuel it.
Perfect. So we will decide on when Robert's coming back, and we're going to jump into what's the next thing, Robert? What do you want to talk about?
I don't know what happened.
All right, so we're on that wait and see, but stay tuned for the next interview with Robert Fitzgerald, theoretical astrologer. This is Velvet, live from planet Earth. Over and out.